Hey, everybody. Really great way to kick off the week. We have Julian, the CEO of Doodles, joining the show. So on the show, we discuss Pudgy Penguins hitting another all-time high and how soon we may see Pudgy's flip Bored Apes. We talk about the Ordinal Maxi Biz Mania as the new Orange Eye collection was inscribed to the Bitcoin blockchain. And last, we are joined by Julian, the Doodles CEO, to talk all things Doodles partnerships, their Golden Wolf animation studio, and other plans for 2024. Overall, it's a great episode of the show. It's brought to you in partnership with Dimension X, which is a free-to-play RPG game on Ethereum and Flow. It's been live since August 2023. To learn more, check out DimensionX_NFT. They're even throwing some Bodago-inspired heroes into the game. Really cool stuff. Check out Dimension X and hope you enjoy the show.
Off, here we go. And we're live, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Nifty Show. Number 647, we're kicking off the week with a fantastic show. Today, we are discussing Pudgy Penguins hitting a new all-time high and Doodles also rallying. We're going to be talking about whether or not we might see them flip apes this week.
Okay.
We're also going to be discussing Ordinal Maxi Biz Mania, or as Nick calls them, a bunch of scribbles, as a new Orange Eye collection was inscribed in the oldest sats ever recorded. Nick, I don't know if you saw that one, but that's a banger. And lastly, we're going to be joined.
Nick, you got a dishonorary in the collection.
For real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me find it.
Pull it up. I haven't seen it.
Sent it in the private chat. You can share it.
We're also going to be joined by Julian Holgan, the Doodle CEO, to talk all things Doodle's partnerships, their Golden Wolf Animation Studio.
Oh, grin.
Plans for 2024. He's, I believe he's Latino. So, Holgin. I got to see this this honorary. That can't be
dishonorary.
Dishonorary. But Nick, speak of the devil. It's good to have you on the show this early. I have to say, last week we weren't able to have you on the show as much. How are you doing? How was your Super Bowl?
It was good. Dude, my focus has just been on sleep recently. That's been like my core focus. I also read this book, which I tweeted about or in reference to somebody the other day, called The One Thing. I've been just like clearing up, you know, my life, my head, the business. I wrote a document yesterday about how to clean my shower.
Wait. That's the biggest waste of time.
Not really. It's what I've been.
The document, not the shower cleaning. Like, you should definitely clean the shower.
No, it's a playbook for the apartment, so I can give it to like a maid or something like that, basically. Like, there's certain elements that are key to... So all these new showers, anything new, like, is basically garbage, like, for the most part. Like, anything, like, people are trying to reinvent the wheel with things. It's just not a good move. So, like, I got all sorts of issues that happen. For example, like, when the shower attempts to be visually appealing, when the drain is sort of hidden and there's just like a crack, you know what I'm saying? Like in the floor, you need suction cups to pull open the area, the drain, essentially. So you can like clear out hair or whatever's in there. And that whole situation, it just requires a little bit of thought, and it doesn't come with something to open it. So you like literally cannot. Like, anyways, it's key that you have proper documentation around the apartment so that everybody understands how to utilize things. For example, the blinds, which are remote, require charging on a periodic basis. Now, I haven't had to charge them since I got here, but some of them feeling like they need to be charged now, you know? And so if someone comes in, doesn't understand the apartment, this guide that I'm going to hand off whenever I leave this apartment, they're just going to thank me. They're going to say, wow, appreciate your thought associated with this.
The comments don't seem to agree with your shower optimization. I see the reasoning in it.
I'll tell you what it's part of the Nick protocol. So, you know, Brian Johnson, who we interviewed the other week, which I'm wondering why we don't have any video clips for, but that's another story. Brian Johnson, when he came on, you know, he talks about his protocols. I tasted also, you know what arrived this weekend? His extra virgin olive oil. And that shit is disgusting.
What?
It's awful. It doesn't taste good.
What about it doesn't taste olive oil? How bad can it be?
It's just bad tasting. Like, it literally does not taste like good olive oil. And he's like, it's lab tested. And I'm like, well, you should have had someone taste test it because it's awful from that standpoint. I feel like it's not a requirement for it to taste like garbage in order for it to have the effect.
Are you going to do the blood test? Did you sign up? Did he say you signed up for the blood test or no blood test?
I skipped the whole thing because I was just like, you know what? Like, this is too intense. Like, this is not necessary. It's going to be like $1,000 that you're going to end up investing in this like thing, which it probably isn't. But I think
it's a networking thing. I mean, Brian is trying to build the next generation. I was on the Devil's Lettuce this weekend. I was thinking about it and I was like, dude, this guy's trying to build the next generation of like superhumans, basically. Right.
Well, so, you're going to need a network, Clemente, because all your friends will be dead. So you're going to need someone to talk to.
The way I would look at it is I'm like, dude, I get a chance to network with some of these, like these guys are probably, I mean, he has 5,000 people in there. The average net worth of those individuals has to be just 7 figures plus. At least
I'm gonna say no.
Okay, that's interesting. Real quick before we get started, what the hell was Joe Biden tweeting last night? Did you see this?
About snacks?
No, Dark Brandon, no. Dude.
What is going on?
Yeah, it's his alternate ego. Dark Brandon.
What is this?
This is PO in 50 years, is what it is. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And then also Hillary Clinton tweeted like, congratulations to Taylor's boyfriend and the entire Kansas City Chiefs community. Why is she tweeting that? Why not just say congrats, Chiefs? Why bring Taylor Swift into it? Anyways, I just had to.
Because it's about women, Clemente. Women are responsible for what happened. Do you think the Chiefs could have won had it not been for Taylor Swift and her relationship with Kelsey?
I did not, but it was actually very romantic seeing them afterwards. Travis crying. I didn't want the Chiefs to win.
I didn't watch that. I had to go to bed. I was so tired. And as I was like, really, this game's going to extend? I lost all my bets, literally 100% of the bets that I made on the game.
Went 3-2 on my public bets. Had another $100 cash bet that I made with a friend on the Chiefs. Didn't even take the points. Just gave them the odds. And then I even hit 2 Super Bowl squares for another $500 on top. With 49ers 0, Chiefs 3.
Nobody gives a shit, Easy.
It was great, dude. It was great. I care a lot, dude. It was a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Oh, Easy made more money again.
Hey, yeah, listen, breaking news. Easy made more money. All right.
Just wait till you see my doodles trade.
Let's get on with the show because we have a lot to cover today. Today's show, before we get started, is brought to you in partnership with Dimension X. We're super excited to be kicking off our partnership with them. Dimension X is a free-to-play RPG game. Available on Ethereum and Flow. I know another collection that's on Flow. This has been live since August of 2023, which also coincided with their free mint of their Dimension X Heroes on Ethereum. The team behind Dimension X, we met with them. They're super committed to building this game side by side with their community versus like dropping a mint and then dropping the game 2 years later, or whatever that looks like. They do weekly streams. They consult with the community of what they like versus don't like. I played it a little bit. It's a lot of fun. It's a pixelated style game. They also created some Bodago-inspired heroes, which we are going to be giving away today. You can enter by checking out the pinned tweet. But yeah, basically, you can play the game. It's free to play. All you have to do is log on, and you can actually level up your hero once you get up to a certain level. You can mint one of these and interact with it, do whatever you want with it. So super exciting stuff. Shout out again to our partners. You can follow them at DimensionX_NFT on Twitter. But Signal, let's kick things off. I'm ready for the weather report whenever you are.
And so you should be, Clemente, because it's Monday, it's February the 12th, and we cooked over this weekend. That ETH market volume came in at 26.8 million, Solana market volume at 8 million. If we look at the market leaders, the flightless birds, the pudgies, they were up to 20.3 ETH floor, that's up 15%. Doodles also up 24% to 3.5 ETH. Cyberkongs also cooked, up 35% to 1.33. Parcels on Solana up 26% to 18 SOL. And Ordinal Maxi Bay is absolutely cooked up to almost a 0.7 BTC floor. absolute beautiful weekend. If we look at the top four stories, well, obviously, we got to start with the Pudgy Penguins. They have once again taken flight as they are up 25% in the last 7 days and marked a new high of 21.5 ETH before slightly pulling back overnight. Many are calling for the flappening, which will be coming this week, as Pudgy Penguins were as little as 20 sales away from flipping the apes this weekend, with Bored Apes at 22.9 ETH as the bleeding continues for Yuga Labs. Over to the second story, and it's crypto. Well, February continues to be absolutely hot after it was a cold start in January, as Bitcoin has had its best week since December the 8th, up 11%. Ethereum up 9% gain. Solana pumped 11%, reaching a one-month high of $109, and it's $1.8 billion in TVL. It's its highest since June 2022. Over on Bitcoin, it's about Ordinal Maxi Biz. They came out with a Hail Mary pass. It was Super Bowl Sunday on Twitter as they inscribed 3,141 orange-eyed Maxis onto the oldest sats in circulation. On the news of a new collection coming, Ordinal Maxi Biz pumped and rallied 36% to 0.68 BTC, a new all-time high for the collection, which Nick famously once called a bunch of scribbles. And then lastly,
they are
over on Jack Butcher, Alvin Suntory Kid officially submitted their open O'Pepin set for number 30, making what may be one of the most sought after O'Pepin sets today. And Jack also announced that a single check snapshot will be happening today at 4 p.m. Eastern, with the qualifying holders receiving an Ordinal's check. Currently, there are 57 single checks with the latest sell for 21 ETH. That is all, folks. It is back to you in the studio.
Amazing weather for Signal, Nick.
That OMB situation. Only would OMB pump off of another collection because they can't figure out anything else to do. I mean, cool. Like, congratulations. The OMB is, you know, top brass at this point.
I will say, you have to admit, this orange eye collection is the best looking.
The best art. Hands down, the best art.
It is better than the other one. I will agree with that. Some of them look pretty iconic.
The thing that I was confused by is, so there's a 3141 collection. Easy, you're a holder of these, of the lowest tier, right? So I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of allowless process, but no details have been shared. And I guess, I don't know how you inscribe something on the oldest sats possible. But these are the oldest sats that are in existence. If you go to like all inscriptions and you go to the oldest sats, it's all of these. It's all the orange eyes, which I guess for provenance reasoning is a pretty cool. But Easy, anything to add here on Ordinal Maxi Biz?
I want one. That's about it. These look sick. Like, they've teased some stuff. Like, they've shown on some of the first graphics, green, red, and orange eyes, or green, red, and blue equals orange. So I'm sure there's going to be some game theory involved. This is also more supply than all current OMBs. I think right now there's 2,100.
Yeah, that's interesting. Got it. You think there could be some sort of burn mechanic, but either way, they're going to make some sort of money.
I don't think it's a burn mechanic. I think it's going to be, I'm not sure exactly what, but yeah, I'm very, very eager and excited to see how they roll this out. They rolled out green eyes in an interesting way. And yeah, I think they're going to do something cool here.
Yeah. Well, we can talk a little bit more on it later possibly, but some stories from the Nifty Daily Digest. You can go subscribe at thenifty.com.
Or dailybones.com, whichever daily you prefer.
Whatever you prefer. We talked about this briefly on Friday when these minted out at 0.06529 ETH each. But the first story is Pebbles, which is Punk6529's first collection as the quote-unquote art blocks of the memes ecosystem, reached a high of 3.7 ETH over the weekend before pulling back to 2.9 ETH. And Punk6529 dropped a little thread on what might be next for this ecosystem, but these were sitting at 0.6 and they saw a nice rally afterwards. The next story, the Wormhole, their W token is trading at $1 a piece, which because of their 18% token unlock upon launch, this is gearing up to be a $1.8 billion token airdrop once it launches. Easy, any details on this? Are you tracking anything in particular, a Wormhole related?
Nothing specific that's like aside from just watching the OTC markets right now. Like, that's kind of the main thing, which we're seeing, like you said, over $1 per already. This is, in my opinion, one to watch to then anticipate what Layer Zero is going to do, because Layer Zero's massive raise, Wormhole also raised a ton of capital. So we are seeing some decent OTC trade volume on it. The issue is we don't know what rewards are going to be. So far, we've seen D-Gods, Utes, and Mad Lads teased as the NFT collections that will get some level of exposure. to Wormhole or the W token. I also think that they had a missed opportunity here, not naming it ticker hole, but I digress. W is still kind of badass, but it reminds me of a stock ticker. So I don't know. I feel like ticker names are kind of a big piece of this. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. I'm very curious to see how they determine the reward mechanics and what the release of the token itself is.
Yeah, and the only other thing that I wanted to share on this note was I noticed, I don't know if this is for Mad Lads in particular, or but I noticed that some, or this is Wormhole related, but some Mad Lads, as you can see, this one has a W on it. Mm-hmm. Is this related to Wormhole?
I would assume so, yeah. It's only the Mad Lads so far. It's supposedly from their Discord stuff right now. Like, that's the main thing, is if you join the Discord, they tweeted, like, join the Wormhole Discord, Mad Lads, and then the Discord link. And that actually caused the Discord to, like, basically shut down. Same thing happened with D-Gods, so not terribly surprised. The thing that I'm most interested, though, is, like I said, seeing what the rewards are going to be. Because that's what really matters. Like, if they give them 10 grand on this airdrop, I think Mad Lads continue to pump. Like, Mad Lads got to mention, maybe they get a nice another 10K bag here. And then, obviously, D-Gods and Utes should see some positive price appreciation on the back of that. But then all this does is set up Pudgies to go even higher with the Layer 0 kind of ties and everything else going on there.
Is there action that Mad Lads holders need to take right now?
You got to join the Discord.
The Wormhole Discord or the Mad Lads Discord?
Wormhole Discord.
And verify that you have a Mad Lad in the Wormhole Discord?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Once you just... So the benefit of Solana NFTs is you have what's called a Matrica profile. So you don't actually have to connect the wallet in the Discord. You're connected to a Matrica profile. So once you connect the Discord to that and then join, it'll auto-assign the role.
Okay.
So that's a nice part.
Cool. Clemente, can I rock from here?
Yeah, take it.
Sotheby's will launch an Ether Rock auction on February 14th, has a price estimate of $700,000. I feel like if you read this story 1 year ago, people would literally say, yeah, right. During the bear market, it did seem as though Ether Rocks were kind of the staple of NFT mania. I saw NFT Statistics actually tweet one out pointing out a big sale, and he wrote really clean one. Like, really clean Ether Rock. So I got a kick out of that little comment. Pretty wild. I wonder if Spencer Ventures, he's always saying that he's paying attention to stuff that's happening at Sotheby's. I wonder if he's paying attention to Ether Rock. Moving on, New York City has revised their lawsuit against Gemini and digital currency group DCG, good old Barry Silbert, now seeking $3 billion in restitution. Our friend of the show, Ram Alawalia of Lumita Wealth, pointed out via Twitter that digital currency group DCG is not even worth $3 billion right now. So there's a lot going on there. Really interesting stuff. This is a really big fraud case that's now over a year and a quarter in the making. This all went down when FTX collapsed in late 2022. Nick, you're shaking your head.
Just send Barry to jail, dude. It's like he hangs out with Chamath and Chamath tweets about how great of a guy he is.
Chamath's out to lunch.
What the hell are you talking about, dude? Like, this guy is just a fucking criminal. I mean, the Winklevoss, the Winklevi, you know, like they also suck. Like, they're not as criminal at this point, but just their character has been shown.
Where
they're
just completely shown.
People talk about me being a trust fund kid. Come on now, like these guys give you the perfect example of how to behave when you have the ultimate level of privilege, and I think. Yeah, I mean, they suck. I don't dislike them as much as Barry at this point.
No. But they are wieners for sure. They're basically being like, no, Barry, you pay instead of us. And it's like, dude, you guys like owe customers like $900 million. Like,
the thing that's annoying is how tall they are. Like, they would actually physically be able to beat me up, basically. And that's disappointing.
We can work on that, Nick. Height is not everything. We can work on that. I've offered to come over and train with you at your apartment. You have a great gym in the apartment.
Dude, it doesn't
matter. You have a very nice gym.
They're still going to be significantly taller than me. And as you're aware, dude, if a 7 foot guy gets in a fight with a 5 foot person, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd go after the legs. You know, that would be like the key. Try and knock tip over because they're top heavy or something like that. But anyways.
Dude, there's guys in my Muay Thai gym that are much shorter than you, Nick, and you would not want to get in a tussle with these gentlemen, and neither would the Winklevoss twins, let me tell you that. I'm just saying, if you want to work on it, we can. Next story, Boogle number 58 has sold for, get this, 3,150 Solana. That's $341,000. It's a new all-time high sale on the Boogles collection. Boogles largely are widely known, I should say, as the Solana Illuminati, if you will. Very small supply collection, known to have really big sales, known to be a bit of a status symbol among NFT and crypto whales. Easy. Anything to add on this Boogles sale? Any context that I missed?
No, I think you answered everything there. This sale was crazy. Like, to see them and continue to sell higher and higher literally every single day is just absurd to me. It's awesome to see. I'm very excited for the Boogles. I'm friends with a bunch of people in the ecosystem. They also had an interesting announcement. This past weekend, George, one of the founders, tweeted, maybe we stop doing pre-sales in the Boogles, considering that's where they get most of the FUD from. There's people saying, like, Boogles dump pre-sales, when in actuality, many times they are some of the largest whales for collections and give a lot of collection support and don't really sell, if ever. So it's rather interesting to see them say, you know what, screw, if everyone just thinks we dump pre-sales, what if we just stop taking pre-sales? So it's a really interesting approach that I saw from them, kind of make a comment on that. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens here in the coming weeks, days, months, and due time. I mean, these sales are nothing to kind of flock at. $300,000 for a JPEG is crazy, like crazy amounts of capital.
It's a lot of coin. Can't say I'd make the same buy. Top crypto movers since Friday. We got Bonk token up 25% to $810 million market cap upon introducing Bonk rewards on Friday before a pullback. So another dog token here, Bonk, at this point, one of the most notable ones, really making progress. It's going to be very interesting to me which dog token is the big winner over the next 24 months. Will it be Doge? Will it be Bonk? Will it be Whiff? Whiff definitely seems to have a very strong fan base, so we'll have to see what happens with dog tokens. Tomorrow on the Bitcoin Show, we have Joe McCann on the show. He actually trademarked the saying, he says, well, I don't remember the first half of it, so this is a little unprofessional, but the second half is, or dog tokens to a trillion. Nick got a little, you know, big, a little bit of a kick on that one. Anyway, next story, IMX, Immutable X token, is up 15% to $2.87. This is a gaming token. This thing has been running. Our friend of the show, Elio Trades, has been talking about Immutable X token for quite some time. Really going to be interesting to see which gaming token ends up being the big winner over the next 24 months. Clemente, do you own Immutable X token? Is that why you are, you know, fist pumping?
I'm still down 20% on it, but let's go, baby. Let's go.
that's interesting, Clemente. Okay. Yeah, amid the pump, you're still down. Next story, Jupe token down 9% to 47 cents. We'll have to see what happens with Jupe token. Easy, are you completely out of your Jupe position or still holding?
I have about 20%, I think. I'd have to double check. I've sold most of it at this point. Yeah, the DLMM did not react the way I wanted it to once they pulled the upside. There's still basically just USD backing at around 46 cents. If that doesn't hold, it's going to get scary.
That age-old expression, the DLMM just didn't hold up. Upcoming mints that are coming this week, we have on the 13th tomorrow, Flares by OXFAR. This is a Bitcoin mint. So Quantum Cats artist, the artist that actually made Quantum Cats OXFAR, is releasing a 512 supply Ordinals art collection via Dutch auction starting at 0.1 Bitcoin. It's going to drop by 0.005 Bitcoin every 5 minutes. So definitely maximizing the moment here. OXFAR has a project coming out tomorrow. Should be interesting to see how this plays out. Ordinals, it's still very, very early, still very much so the wild, wild west. It's been fascinating to watch it develop. It almost feels like watching the 2021 NFT market develop all over again, because it does seem like a lot of people on Bitcoin did not actually follow the NFT market back in the day. So we're kind of seeing the similar ideas play out again. Next one on the 14th, the day after tomorrow, Valentine's Day, Floriforms, a Bitcoin mint, is going to be dropping. And then the day after, Marms on Solana. So that's Soul Marms, M-A-R-M-S. Those are some of the more highly anticipated mints that are coming out. We're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by Julian, the CEO of Doodles, going to really get in the weeds with him on all things Doodles, as Doodles is having a bit of a comeback here. Really exciting stuff. Three things to watch for today quickly that we need to discuss. Karma Coin,
is going to reveal 7 ordinal communities that will receive potential token allocation today. So is this the first token allocation based on ordinals ownership that we've seen? Am I right about that?
No, Rug Token by Saturn was the first one.
Okay.
Which dropped recently. That was one that there were some qualifications they had. There were some issues with the rollout, I guess they said, but that dropped last week. So this will be the second. R6, which was supposed to be one of the first runes, which is an ordinal at the moment, was also a reward based on what you held.
Okay, got it. Well, we'll have to see what happens. There are more ordinals news. Trevor Owens, friend of the show, investor in the Nifty, is revealing the next steps and plan for Pizza Ninjas tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll have to see what the story is there. And last but not least, another ordinals update. Jack Butcher's single check snapshot at 4 p.m. Eastern is happening today for the ordinals checks. The last sale on a check was 21 Ethereum, over $50,000. There are 57 eligible checks right now. It's going to be very interesting to see the overall supply release, if it'll just be the 57 at first or the entire 512. The price action on the ordinals checks and the single checks will be very interesting. Clemente, it seems like you've done a lot of research on this one. Any insight to add on top of that?
Yeah, the only thing I'm watching for is whether or not these will all be released as a 512 ordinals collection right away, or if it'll be the initial 57 release. But either way, and then the single checks, how much they dump afterwards and how much it's priced in. So all things to monitor over the next week with Jack Butcher, in addition to obviously the Alpha Centauri kid, Pepin set. So big week for him.
Absolutely. Easy. Anything to add there on the Jack Butcher front?
Jack Butcher continues to keep focus on the checks. Like, that man just somehow, he's got the sauce, I will say. Every couple weeks it kind of fades, then he comes back with some absolute home run, and I think the Alpha Centauri kid drop is one of the most hype drops. We saw the Penguins drop that got a ton of traction and interest, the Snowfro drop, similar idea. And now with ACK, I think there's a lot of excitement about this, like a lot. So I'm very, very eager to see what's going to happen with the checks floor price. Also with the Ordinals drop, he continues to kind of keep a pulse on what the market is kind of interested in and looking for. So very eager to see how price action reflects it and how many people opt in and all these other key components.
He keeps it really, really simple, and that's really, really hard to do at a high level. And he uses the blockchain as a canvas and continues to use it in interesting ways that other people have not done. So very interesting stuff from Jack Butcher. We will have to see how that plays out. But now, at this point, without any further ado, we have Julian, the CEO of Doodles, joining the show. Julian, welcome to the show, amigo.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Excited to have you. It's an appropriate day to have you on the show. Doodles is, really having a little moment here. Not the first moment Doodles has had in its history, but, I wanted to kind of lead and just ask Julian, what has the experience been like for you to come in and essentially, become a CEO of an NFT organization, not being the founder of the NFT organization? This is something I'm fascinated by. I find it very interesting. I'd love to hear about that experience and maybe, just how it's kind of played out for you, what you've learned, and how you see the future playing out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and excuse me, I'm actually a little under the weather this morning. So if I'm a little slow, forgive me.
No worries. But,
when I met the guys, Jordan, Evan, and Burnt Toast, they were at a really critical point, right? Like the project launched in October of 2021, and it got pretty big very quickly. Everybody in Hollywood was trying to sign them as kind of creators, right? So like the big talent agencies, the music managers, like there was mass hysteria around like what were going to be the next big projects, and Doodles was very primed for that. And at that time, they knew what they wanted long-term, but they didn't really know how to get there. The entertainment industry is a pretty crazy space to try and navigate, especially if you don't have any experience doing so.
Yeah.
And just given the fact that there was so much hype in the space, like you didn't really know who to trust either, like who had your best interest at heart, et cetera. So when I met them, it was kind of a perfect time, right? Like it was, they really needed help to take this thing to the next level. And I was very interested in the space because of a lot of the things that I was building at Billboard, but we never really looked at it as like founders versus CEO. Like we looked at it as we were partnering to make Doodles an actual company, an actual entertainment IP. And that's really been the vibe ever since. It's been pretty remarkable. I feel like I've learned more in the last 18 months than I have in my entire career.
Well, I want to dig into a lot of that, some context, and I know Nick's going to have a question, some context too, for people to understand just how wild this exact time that you are talking about in the kind of NFT space was when it comes to mainstream popularity. I'm not going to say who, but someone that I've talked to from a different NFT project has told stories that you just wouldn't believe about, you know, that kind of peak era last cycle of NFT popularity, you know, hanging out with literal A-list celebrities and not even being the founder of the project, just being someone that worked at the project, getting the opportunity to do these things that you would just think like, who is this person? Is this person a musician? No, it's just someone that was involved with an NFT project, hanging out with some of the biggest names in the entertainment game. Really wild stuff. Nick, you have a follow-up for Julian?
Yeah. Well, there's two separate paths that I could take here, but one you mentioned on the entertainment IP, which I have questions about, and I'll say that for later. But you also, like your background, it looks like you were focused on like revenue and partnerships on an executive level, like over the years was like a core sort of focus. How do you think, like in terms of the partnership side has clearly influenced things as you guys have announced a number of partnerships to date, including the most recent one being G-Shock. There was Camp, which you guys had a partnership with as well. How do you think about the revenue side of things? And is that of any concern at this moment in time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, the thing that's so interesting about NFT projects and the businesses that you can build around them, like there's a whole layer of media where there's an existing business model, right? Like you can create ad revenue for yourself if you get big enough on YouTube and Twitter and TikTok and Snapchat and all these places. You can get money for brand partnerships, so brands pay you to access your fan base, your audience. You can sell merchandise. Like there's an existing model at that layer. Then there's also the collectible model, right? Like, you know, how can you create, you know, what's this new kind of like microtransaction world that's kind of more like digital gaming? You know, like can you gamify the entertainment experience? Can you create token-gated content? You know, some of that being monetized, some of it being, you know, engagement based, right? Like at the end of the day, I think the thing that is really interesting about this space is you have the existing model with this whole new model that we're talking about in NFTs and digital collecting and gamifying the entertainment experience. And you bring those two things, you stack them on top of each other, you have the opportunity to create something truly incremental. And I think that's what a lot of the big entertainment companies are missing. One of the things I always like to talk about is the relationship with your audience. If you think about traditional IP, most of the way that it comes to market is you take the IP as the IP operator, the holder, and you license it out to distribution platforms. So movie theaters, retail locations, gaming companies, publishing companies, right? Like someone else actually manages and owns the relationship with your audience. And if you don't know who your audience is, how are you ever going to reward them? And if you don't reward them, you're probably leaving money on the table long term. And we believe that in Web3, the kind of the relationship that you have with community is I feel like I'm a part of this. I feel like as a holder, I feel like I'm part of this. I feel like I'm really getting something out of this. I have no issue spending on the things that you are actually trying to monetize because I really feel like I'm a part of this thing. And you can kind of figure out a way to take that old traditional model, which is very easy to figure out. The more people you reach, the more you can monetize your IP with this new model. And you hopefully get something, like I mentioned, that's incremental. So revenue is definitely a focus for us. I mean, we're a business. Like we have to, you know, we have to drive revenue. We have to do it in a sustainable way. But diversifying the revenue, I think, is the most important thing. Like we can't just rely on one way of making money. We have to rely on a number of ways of making money.
Well, and if we could dig into that a little bit, you're talking about diversifying the revenue. I think that there's a couple of paths that come to mind for people that are sort of NFT native, but could you kind of give us some insight at a kind of a level lower on how you guys are thinking about these different revenue channels and which ones you find more interesting than others?
I mean, I think for the longest I think the thing that takes the longest, but is a really big opportunity and frankly pretty easy to figure out, is kind of the media layer, the IP layer, like how you monetize that. Like, you make movies, you sell brand partnerships, you know, you sell merchandise, you do ticketed live events, you do sponsorships, et cetera, et cetera. It does take a little while to get people really leaned into your IP and wanting to, to access your fan base, right? You need to be a certain size, you need to have a certain level of engagement, et cetera. One of the things that I think is really interesting is when you get into a layer below that, right? Like, so that, consider that kind of like the layer where you attract new people. You can still monetize at that layer. When you bring them a little bit lower, we have this platform called the Studio. And within the Studio, there's going to be a lot of different things, right? You can create your own doodle. You can collect wearables to actually equip to your doodle. Eventually, you're going to be able to do things with the doodle that you actually just created. There's going to be mini games opportunities. There's going to be all these different things that you can do, like on chain. Like, if we're kind of, we're looking at it like it's the layer where you play. It's the layer where you like really start to get into, you know, kind of like on chain gamification. And there's opportunities to monetize there. It could be new collections. It could be, it could be people buying their first digital collectibles, like a number of different ways. And then when you go a little bit lower than that, think more like EVM and Ethereum, right? Like, think of a world where Doodles builds its own marketplace one day, and like we're actually incentivizing people to transact on that marketplace, and people are earning for transacting on that marketplace, and we're, you know, taking part in that upside too because we're taking fees. Like, excuse me, guys.
Of course, no worries.
And I guess like there's this new model is kind of like, how do you take someone that is just consuming your content at the top and then funnel them down into the core NFT ecosystem, at each point being able to monetize in a different way. But at each point, that person also receiving some sort of value as they funnel down, to the lower areas of that funnel, which is, you know, really at the end of the day, what we want to figure out. We want to figure out how to take somebody from watching a movie or following us on Instagram to being aware of and wanting one of the original collection NFTs. If we could figure out that funnel and we could really nail that, that's good for everybody.
Absolutely. I think Nick had a question, but then maybe someone like came to his door or something. So he'll be back, I'm sure, in a minute. Just one more follow-up question on the Julian, because I'm pretty fascinated by Julian. I'm pretty fascinated by what you just said, because it sounds like you guys are thinking really deeply about Web3 native ways to generate revenue, which is something, as you can imagine, we think about a lot over here at the Nifty. And I think a lot of people in the space are thinking about it, but there isn't a playbook that is proven yet. So this is the sort of $1 billion question, maybe more, maybe it's the $10 billion question, right? Would you say that you guys spend more time thinking about Web3 native ways to make revenue versus kind of, I guess we can call it Web2, whatever you want to call it, just non-crypto paths to revenue? Because I do think that there's a lot of non-crypto paths to revenue for a brand like Doodles. I mean, we look at our brand and we think the same thing, but I'd love to know, is the focus Web3 native paths to revenue?
It's both at the end of the day. Like, I think you're going to have a hard time growing your Web3 revenue, your Web3 interest without growing top of funnel, especially if you're an IP company. So for us, why is anybody in our core community going to care if like all it is what it is right now? Like, they want to see music, they want to see movies, they want to see events, they want to see all these big things, because it drives energy around the brand and it brings new people. Like, we want our echo chamber to get a little bit bigger every time. And you're not going to convert everybody, right? Like, most people are going to stay at that kind of just media layer where they want to follow you. Maybe they'll buy a t-shirt every now and then, they'll watch your content, but they're not going to go all the way down. But there will be a small subset of people that do, people that really want to get more engulfed in the fandom and really learn more about like what, I don't want to say like what a Web3 company really is, but it's just going to feel natural to them the same way that they want to play like certain video games that they love. Like, if you can build that revenue layer on top and that engagement layer on top, and then you have a net to capture people, we believe our net is the Studio. So when people actually come into the website and we drive them into the Studio, they're going to start getting their first digital collectibles, because that's how you get an account. You're going to sign up for an account. To sign up for an account, you have to make an avatar. You can equip your avatar with wearables. You're going to see that some people have these cool Adidas wearables and some people have these cool like cloud booster shoes and all this stuff. You're going to start to want to learn a little bit more. And then in doing that, in having an account, you know that there's going to be things that you can earn. There's loyalty, rewards, the same way you would do with any kind of loyalty and rewards program. And all of that is going to be wrapped in, like, these are like the grail collectibles of the ecosystem. These are the things that started it all. So once people start to learn a little bit more and they actually want to, they think that like, hey, I have these cool things. I ripped a pack of like, you know, really rare wearables. Maybe I want to sell those, right? Like, how do you put them in an environment where they can actually do that in a meaningful way, but not like, like, think about it for us, like when you would play Pogs or you would play Pokemon and then you would want to trade those things, how does an IP company start to be able to monetize things moving hands, right? That was the promise with royalties originally. But I think there are different ways you could do that. There's incentive measures that you can create. A lot of people are doing points right now. A lot of people are doing, you know, staking and things like that. So all of that is very core to our focus. The stuff that is most visible is obviously going to be, you know, the big splashy things that kind of exist at the top layer.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to throw it to Nick in a second. Just one note, because I think that something that you said is really important, and it's something that I think about a lot, and it's something that I think a lot of people in Web3 maybe overlook, which is that you're not going to convert everybody to become the sort of giga fan that ends up buying digital products and things like that. Somebody can enjoy the Star Wars film or the Star Wars TV show, and that doesn't mean that they're then going to go home and buy six action figures from the Star Wars show that they watch. They can just enjoy the show and say, hey, I like Star Wars, and not have that full conversion to buy every single collectible product. Some people flat out aren't interested in collectibles, but they can still enjoy media and be a fan of the brand. Nick, did you have a question for Julian?
Yeah, to piggyback on the thing you were talking about, the on-chain side of things, I know everything that you've built is on Flow. Is that the way you guys want to continue moving forward? And how do you think that that's like, how do you think that decision has impacted or not impacted the business so far?
No, I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, the move to Flow, and it wasn't a move. We just launched a new product on Flow. I think it was a little misunderstood at the time, and maybe it was a little early. I said this on a podcast the other day, in that one of the things that Doodles hasn't done the best job with is contextualizing why we do what we do and having the people that hold our original collection and the core Web3 community really understanding like why this stuff is important. And the reason why we're building on Flow is because from a technology perspective, what we can create at what we're kind of dubbing like a play layer, like all of the on-chain games, all of the scalable collectibles, all of the things that you want really, really little friction in, we're building at that Flow layer. Now, the thing that people get frustrated with is Flow does not necessarily have the liquidity that some of the other protocols do, right? Like I think Yat from Animoca said, you know, said something recently that really blew my mind. He's like, protocols are like cities, they're markets at the end of the day. Like you can create art in South Dakota and you could be the best artist in the world, but if you want to go sell that art, you're not going to do it in South Dakota. You're probably going to want to go to Hong Kong or New York. Like, how do you take the awesome experiences that you're creating at, in our case, at the Flow level, and ultimately create opportunities for people to tap into liquidity? And that's where Flow actually started, is coming out with this thing called EVM on Flow. So you're going to be able to take your NFTs from Flow and bring them into EVM compatible environments to actually do all the trading and the transacting that you want. We have some really big plans around around that that I can't really glean too much into right now, but from a like gamification, like our studio, you know, playable perspective, we believe Flow is an incredible protocol to build on. But then when you actually want to like create markets around the things that you're talking about, like all the wearables and everything like that, or you want your, you know, community to be able to access like the right markets, we have some product that's coming that's actually going to enable that.
Very interesting. Signal has a question. Julian, the topic of deciding what blockchains to build on is obviously a complex one, right? Because a chain like Solana, for example, gets super duper hot and all of a sudden it attracts a lot of people. But 10 months ago, it wasn't abundantly clear that Solana was the blockchain to build on for NFTs. So this is another piece of the kind of Web3 crypto puzzle that as an entrepreneur, you have to navigate. So very interesting to hear the way that you guys think through that. Signal, you have a question for Julian?
Yeah. Hey, Junior. So we're kind of seeing this like revival of the 2021 projects coming back and doing really well. And I remember, the, you know, there was a time where many of us held doodles and then we left the community for various reasons. And I like how you've been talking about the studio as a way of bringing new people in, into the ecosystem. But with doodles at like, you know, approaching $10,000 and, you know, we're seeing other projects from 2021 pump, what would be a, like the reason why people who used to hold doodles and may have sold them, why should they come back to the community now for, you know, going forward for the rest of 2024?
I think a lot of the criticisms that we faced were warranted. I think, you know, one of the, I've said this a bunch, like one of the things that we didn't really do well was just communicate and contextualize. So we would make a lot of these moves that maybe were misunderstood. We didn't communicate how long it would take to do certain things. And, you know, I think the community felt that. And I think at the end of the day, everybody was going into a bear market. We were feeling it. The community was feeling it. Like, it was tough to fly your NFT flag in public any longer because everybody was looking at all of us like we were a joke. And in those moments, communities really look to people to lead by example. And I don't think we did a really great job of showing the community that we were there for them. And that we were building and trying to create, like we were building during the bear market and we were there for them. I don't think we did a great job of that. So I understand why a lot of, like, I often get asked, like, why do you think people care about NFTs? And yes, a lot of people are here for the money side of it. But I really believe that a lot of people here want to feel like they're part of something. And in Web3, you actually are part of it. I always talk about, and I'm going to get back to the question directly. I just think some context is necessary. I always talk about Game of Thrones and Marvel and a lot of these big, big IPs that have so much community generated content. If you think of Game of Thrones, what gets their fans from one season to the next? It's not all the content that they're not putting out. It's the community generated content. It's the fan theories. It's all the speculation on what's going to happen in the next series. Like, it is literally the community creating all of that narrative and people attaching themselves to that narrative. So when you're, as an IP operator, like in a really bad time in the space, not communicating, not contextualizing why you're doing what you're doing, you know, I think people hold issue for that because you're making them feel like they're not part of it. And I think that's the most special thing about this space is that the community really is part of it. We don't look at, you know, like most entertainment IP, their core customers are just passive viewers and purchasers and consumers. We really do look at our core community as part of the IP, and all of the stuff that unfolds on Twitter every single day is as much a part of our narrative as whatever fictional storylines we're going to produce and distribute. So to kind of bring that back to the original question, we've learned a lot in the last year. We've organized ourselves internally. There's no playbook for any of this stuff. It's really difficult to live up to the hype of that time. I mean, there were some crazy expectations. A lot were self-inflicted. Like, I don't like blame anybody for that. The point is that we're trying our best to make sure that the community understands the moves that we make, to make sure our community understands that they are part of this ecosystem and all of the things that we roll out. We're really committing to our community really understanding like why we're doing what we're doing and making sure that everybody feels like we're on this journey together. So that's a commitment from me. It's a commitment from the team. And I would just hope after the last, you know, 3 or 4 months when we really did shake things up internally, people can really see the difference. I think they can, but you know, there's more of that to come.
And we want to talk about that. I think Nick and Easy have questions. Love the point that you made about how community-generated content is really big just in 2024 in general, including, you know, outside the crypto space, the differences in this space, in the NFT space. The community can also have actual ownership of assets that correlate to the organization. Makes it for a very, very interesting, you know, kind of like path that you can go on with these organizations. Nick, did you have a follow-up? Then we can go to Easy.
Yeah, this should be a pretty short one. I'm kind of obsessed with metrics. That's something that I have for our own business. And I'm wondering how you think about that and what like the key metrics of success are for Doodles specifically.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for us, it's really all about like retention, engagement, and growth. So what we want to make sure that we're driving is new audiences coming into our experiences. And for the people that are already here, they're spending more and more time with the content, with whatever it is that we're creating. So I'll give you an example. One of the great metrics that we had in the past 6 months was our partnership with Crocs. Sometimes people tend to think like, oh, there's another brand partnership, more consumer products. They're just like pushing down our throats so they can sell us things. Like that's how they're monetizing. They're monetizing the community. And to that, I would say, we're actually creating a partnership with a brand that's incredibly relevant in pop culture, a brand that is followed by many celebrity, influential people all over the world. They do partnerships with some of the top IP. Doodles has an opportunity to partner with them. We're reaching new people because of it, right? Now that's pretty anecdotal, right? Like, oh, you're reaching new people. Sure, fine. Like, but are you actually? 60% of the people that bought the collaboration were non-holders. That was a really big metric for us because it proved that there were other people outside of Web3 that were really interested in buying into the Doodles IP, getting introduced to it through a partnership, and ultimately becoming aware of what Doodles was doing as an ecosystem. And we believe over time, if you do that with partnerships, if you do that with media, if you do that with whatever activation, it could be live events, and more people start coming into the ecosystem, they start realizing like, what are our first edition packs of Pokemon cards? What are the coolest things? Who are the most influential creators in the ecosystem, right? Like so much of like the Doodles community and ecosystem is around like, what were the top grail sales of the week? Like there's this prank, there's this, you know, like fun rivalry right now between Pranksy and Blondie. And like, that's as much of a narrative right now as our G-Shock collaboration. Like, that stuff will start to become more prevalent because that's already happening in popular culture. People trust like mainstream media brands less and less, and they're following individuals that have built media platforms around them. That trend is not gonna dissipate. That trend is gonna increase, in my opinion. So things like this show, things like what Farouk does, things like what Thread Guy does, like that stuff is incredible. Because it's built around an individual, and you're seeing that just in the creator space. So anyway, long story short, what we're ultimately after is new audience growth, retention of that new audience, and actual like conversation and retention among our like core cohort in, you know, the OG community.
Love hearing about metrics. Easy, you have a question?
Yes, I mean, I guess I'm kind of more interested in like future, what the future state kind of looks like. Of course, with NFTs shifting in the narrative and the quote metas moving around a lot, what does the future for Doodles actually look like?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really changed our vision and our perspective at all. Like, one thing we're not going to do is just chase the next hype cycle. Like, that's not what we're about. And frankly, like, I think if you do that, you're ultimately like diluting your brand and your opportunity. You're not going to be able to move fast enough to create anything really of substance. So like, while there's like all this incredible stuff on Solana right now, it's not like Doodles is like waiting in line just to jump into that. It could be the next thing that lasts forever, right? Like, that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that we've had a vision. We've invested a lot of that vision into building out a play layer with Flow. We've invested a lot of that vision into driving, you know, value and utility down to the original collection and our assets on Ethereum. And we believe that in doing that, we have to drive a lot of mainstream appeal for the brand. So we want to make Doodles one of the best character universes, one of the best lifestyle brands on planet Earth. We have a massive project coming this year. I alluded to it, you know, in a Discord session we did with our community at the end of the year. But it's like a groundbreaking new content experience. Pharrell's doing all the music for it. Everybody's been asking, like, where are Doodle Records? Like, where, you know, where's like the TV show? All of these things are coming together in this new project that's going to be pretty impactful. There's some big artists attached to it, and it's going to be our biggest top of funnel thing that we've ever done. We're going to continue to invest in live events. We're going to continue to diversify our merchandise business. And all of this stuff we believe is going to drive people directly into the studio. And the studio is our opportunity to truly convert people and to truly reward people, make them create more engagement opportunities within the community. But that's pretty much the goal. I think at the end of this year, you're going to see another four or five partnerships, this major content thing that I was telling you about, a lot of stuff that I think the core Web3 community is really interested in and has been begging for the last couple of years. So yeah, fun stuff.
Well, I mean, I didn't even recall actually the Pharrell partnership. That's awesome that that's still in play. I know Clemente has a question. One thing I want to ask about is, so you acquired Golden Wolf, right? I view that as one of the most interesting moves, business moves that I've seen in NFTs, because it makes a lot of sense. It's a high-end animation studio if you look at the work that they've done. Is like, how does Golden Wolf play into Doodle's revenue right now?
They're pretty big. I mean, they do, you know, they have a business independent of what they do for Doodles. They, you know, we work with some of the biggest brands in the world to create advertising content for them. So some of our biggest partners are Epic Games, Disney. We do work with Nike, Paramount. You know, so those are very big clients of Golden Wolf. I think the really interesting thing about Golden Wolf is, if you think about the number one format for content consumption right now, it's short form video. And Golden Wolf has been an advertising and creative studio for the last 15 years, specializing in short form content for some of the biggest brands in the world. I think the way that IP and brands are trending is that no matter who you are, you need to be a lifestyle brand that lives persistently in people's lives. So you need to have content that's going to reach people every single day. In order to have content that reaches people every day, one, you have to have a great community. We talked about community generated content. But two, you need to give that community content a lot of energy and create your own content that is really, you know, it's really elevated. It's really strong. So when we bought Golden Wolf, it was like we were being told, like we were waiting to go do a deal with a big entertainment studio to actually adapt our IP into a movie or a television show. And that would have only answered a little bit of the equation. But even so, it was hard to get that deal. Like nobody would give us the terms that we wanted. Like people just really didn't understand it. So at one point we were like, screw it. We're just going to do this ourselves, either buy a company or build our own team, coincided with doing some work with Golden Wolf. We were like, let's do this. So we acquired them. And now you're just starting to see the benefit of having that. So not only can we put more content out, I think, than anybody, we can do it in a way that's really high quality. So if you looked at our G-Shock campaign, you're talking about like dozens of assets that Golden Wolf handled start to finish. Sorry, guys. Golden Wolf's content that was handled start to finish. And we have, you know, we also, they're basically developing the Doodles IP, and it's kind of like next generation IP development. If it used to be books or movies or television shows, how do you build IP in Web3 and on social media? And then some of these bigger, longer form things like the Pharrell project that I was just mentioning, Golden Wolf is at the center of all of that. So we're getting insights from their work. They're able to get insights from what they're building with Doodles and bring that to their clients. Like we're getting briefs that are like, hey, how do we take this 100-year-old character or characters and give them life on social media? Because traditionally our social accounts have really just been microphones to drive people into streaming or movie theaters. But we want these characters to actually be alive on social. We don't want to just like pull people out of environments that they're spending time. And that's pretty remarkable if you think about it. Like, how do you create a character universe that is persistent and alive in the areas that people spend most of their time? Social media, soon, I mean, not soon, gaming environments, Fortnite, Roblox, et cetera. So Golden Wolf being at the company is, I think it's probably the most slept on thing at Doodles because of just the sheer amount and the quality that we can create.
Well, I have to think it's a net positive for revenue. I have to think it's profitable for you guys. So that's very interesting.
It is. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's incredible. Clemente, your question?
Yeah. Julian, I'm curious for you versus other NFT projects. You mentioned metas initially, and one of the metas that we're seeing right now is a way to reward holders is token allocations, fair tokens. Is that something you guys are pursuing or like trying to spend resources trying to get these types of airdrops like the Dimension airdrop, the Wormhole airdrop, et cetera? Or given your more Web2 background, is that something that for now you guys aren't trying to focus as much on in terms of delivering value to holders?
No. So are you guys familiar with Rainbow Hall? They did a lot of, so Rainbow Hall is like a group within the Doodles Discord that did a lot of this work back like in the NFT hype cycle that was kind of trying to get our community on whitelists and things like that. We're thinking about bringing, we're talking about all of this stuff, but bringing some of that strategy to the table because it's very clear that, you know, that the community wants it. And it's very clear that that's being rewarded with projects like Pudgies and things like that. So I don't have any specifics right now, but that's 100% top of mind.
Awesome. And last question, Julian, organizationally, what does the internal structure look like at Doodles? I'd love to know the way that you guys have strategized around hiring talent. I'm always fascinated by any Web3/crypto company, the way that they actually, you know, hire and just what the organizational structure looks like. Can you give some insight into like, you know, what's going on inside Doodles from like an employee perspective?
Yeah, for sure. So it's like six departments, each with their own lead. So we have the creative studio, which is run by Ingi and, you know, his team, Dottie and Sammy, you know, who one leads more of the production and the operation side, the other leads the creative side, but Ingi's our chief content officer. We have kind of like our marketing communications strategy and BD group that's run by Austin. You know, so there's a few people that report up in Austin. We have a legal and business affairs group that reports into Sarah. She's on Twitter too. Jarrett, who came from a place called Gala Games, and he worked at EA Sports and Verizon before that. He runs finance and you know, some operational infrastructure. And then Remy and Noah Squinch and French Loaf on Twitter run product and engineering. And each of those. Each of those people have, you know, people that report up into them. I'd say like the expectation is that everybody has Web3. Like we don't have like a separate Web3 group, although a lot of that stuff kind of funnels into strategy and BD with Austin. But at the end of the day, everybody needs to be thinking Web3 because we are a Web3 entertainment company. And you kind of see that throughout the organization. But that's where we're at. We're about 60 people. Worldwide, we have offices in Miami, New York, and London. Half of that is the creative studio in Golden Wolf, and then we have some. We have a bunch of remote work too. So like, there's people in Ohio, Los Angeles, Mexico, Argentina. But yeah, it's pretty built out. When I got to the company, we were six full time people. With not a lot of infrastructure, and now it's really pumping like a true to form company.
That's a lot of talent. That's awesome. I mean, I'm not surprised because you guys have. I mean, it's known that Doodles have very strong resources, but that's awesome to hear. Really cool, Nick. I don't know if it looked like you might have a follow up, or am I wrong?
No, I thought that was fascinating. Well, last question on the Web3 native side, or I guess I'll call it crypto native. What are your favorite tokens that you're betting on?
like fungible tokens or NFTs?
Let's go with fungible.
Bitcoin.
Oh, for sure. Bitcoin. I mean, yeah, I've been buying Bitcoin for a while. Frankly, I don't really buy a lot. When I do try and get into the meme coin thing, I lose my shit every time. It's like,
what did you lose money on?
Pepe, I lost money on. I lost money on Anilos because I bought the wrong thing. I'm kind of a rookie when it comes to that stuff, but I do try. And but I hold ETH, I hold Bitcoin, I've held Doge for a long time. So I've made, I'd say overall I've made money in crypto, but it hasn't been without its blunders.
How about Solana?
I have Solana, yeah.
All right.
No, I like, and I know those guys over there pretty well. Like I think Solana's having an incredible moment. Like I really feel like people are finally starting to see the value of like scalability, and especially with a lot of, you know, the new roadmap for Ethereum, like kind of this was always going to be the case where EVM and scalable L1s were needed to like really onboard and, you know, and kind of deliver the promises to the masses. So I'm super bullish on Solana.
Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, this is Julian, the CEO of Doodles. Julian, thank you so much for joining us today. Very, very insightful stuff.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Holguin. I know people were speculating on my Latino roots. So it's, you could say, Holguin or Holguin.
Well, there you go. If we want to have the pronunciation book ready, you guys heard it from the right from the man himself. Yeah. Julian, thank you so much for joining, man. This was a great time. Obviously, best of luck to you and the entire Doodle squad. Can't wait to, you know, see what comes next, and definitely rooting for you and for Doodles. I know Easy bought a Doodle over the weekend. I said at the beginning of the month that my bet was Doodles was going to be the top performer this month compared to the projects that the other panelists on this show selected. So I'm rooting for you extra hard, and thanks so much for joining the show.
And I bought a Bow Doggo, my first Solana NFT, actually. And ooh, it looks just go. Like my dog growing up. So it's like, that's in the vault. It's not going anywhere.
Let's appreciate you guys. Absolutely appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the Doodles NFT project. This is Julian, the CEO. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. We have his account on stage. Julian, until next time, thanks so much, buddy.
Later, guys.
Yep. See ya. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Today's show is brought to you in partnership with Dimension X. Dimension X is a free-to-play RPG game on Ethereum and Flow blockchain. Speaking of Flow blockchain, that has been live since August 2023, which also coincided with the free mint of Dimension X Heroes. The team behind Dimension X is committed to building this game side by side with the community and features weekly streams and feedback sessions for the players to help build the game out side by side. They're also creating 5 Bodago inspired heroes and 1 sidekick, which can be used in the game and eventually minted once you progress far enough. We're giving away 5 of those heroes. You can enter by joining the pinned tweet on the Twitter Spaces stage. Lastly, make sure that you give Dimension X a follow on Twitter. That's at DimensionX_NFT to keep up with their latest free-to-play blockchain game. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We do the show Monday through Friday. We're on episode 600-something here. We've been doing this for over 2 years at this point, almost 2.5 years. We're available on YouTube for the video feed, also on X platform for video. If you prefer to actually watch the show rather than just listen to it, you can also find the show on audio podcast platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. If you want to share it with folks outside of the Twitter universe, and if you want to listen to it on 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed, it's all available wherever you get your content. We are there. We will be back tomorrow. Clemente is going to have to close us out with a song because he's got the Twitter space handy. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another great show. Joe McCann on the Bitcoin show tomorrow, which happens in the afternoon. That's going to be an absolute jam. Even if you don't like Bitcoin, you're going to want to listen to this one because he's a big meme coin guy. He's a big Solana guy. He's a big NFT guy. And he has been absolutely crushing it with his fund Asymmetric. I am pumped that I'm getting a chance to speak with him again. Anyway, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We will catch you next time. One more shout out to Julian, the CEO of Doodles. Give him a follow. Check out Doodles and check out, of course, the partner of today's show, Dimension X. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. See you guys later.
Pharrell Williams, take us home.